real estate is tangible. I mean, it really creates value. I mean, the material, the wood, the metal, the effort, the energy, everything, it's something tangible and real. And it can be a really powerful way to invest. And so that's what I wanted to talk about is that, I mean, you can use IRAs, you can use Roth IRAs, you can use qualified plans to invest in real estate, or you can just use flat out cash to invest, which for me, quite often I find to be the favorite strategy because there's way less rules.
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.
Hi, this is Ken Green, your host for the Engineer of Finance podcast, and I have my awesome host, co-host, Tammy Brennan.
Hey, Ken.
So today's topic, the last podcast, I said, okay, we're going to start talking about investments off Wall Street. I've been teasing that for a while. I've set the foundation of living within your means and the importance of savings and how awesome a Bankosaurus or Bankosauri can be. And so now let's start talking about some investments off Wall Street. Does that sound good?
Yep, sounds good to me.
Good. And so there's so many things you can do off Wall Street. And now I will emphasize this. I do love Wall Street, just not the typical buy and hold strategy. I just don't believe in it. And people who do, great. But anyway, so investments off Wall Street. So today I will talk, real estate. I can tell you, so I see a lot of clients. I've been doing this for quite some time now. And I would argue, at least I can tell you with the clients I work, my wealthiest clients, shocker, it's not from Wall Street. It all starts with a lot of them, especially my older clients, they already inherently or have studied and understood things that I've been teaching on where they realize that, you know what, it's probably a good idea to live within your means and it's probably a good idea to save. And are there other strategies that works outside Wall Street that I can control? And so my wealthiest clients, it's not, their portfolio doesn't consist of, not that Wall Street's not a component of it, but real estate. They have a lot of wealth through real estate, and it can be a very powerful investment strategy. And so I figured, why not start with real estate? Now, I'll ask you a question because I need to start asking you more questions.
Do I need to get my calculator out for this one?
No, not yet. No, not yet. And maybe if you keep doing plenty of podcasts, you'll just get so good at the math side, you'll never need a calculator.
I do not have high hopes in that, Ken, but thank you for your faith in me.
So I'm having fun because I have my fancy boom for the podcasts are getting more fun. So I got this fancy boom, and but it's like extended all the way across my desk, blocking all my screens. So I'm like, so it's just a total tangent there. But we'll talk about, let's talk about real estate. So here's a question for you. No, you do not have to pull out a calculator.
Thank goodness.
Have you been, so I just gonna ask, yeah, I'll interview. Have you ever been a landlord?
I have not.
Oh, okay. So, oh, well, there you go. That's one question. So no.
Unless you count my sons. Do they count? My children?
They've been landlords? Yeah, they do count. Because I want to talk about a little bit of experience here. And then I'll tie to me a little bit on it. I can tell you my parents have been, now I pray they don't listen to this podcast, but they've been landlords all my life. And so for me personally, I've always been very adverse to becoming a landlord because it's amazing what tenants can do to properties. And so, but with your, you said, can you include your sons? So your sons have been landlords?
No.
Or are you saying include your sons? As, no, I'm talking about tenants that pay. Usually I've found that children don't pay mom and dad to live in their homes when they're growing up.
That's true.
So, so is that what you meant?
Yes.
Oh, okay. No, I'm talking about, being a landlord, renting to, and you can get great tenants for sure. And so that's why it's a great play. But yeah, my wealthiest clients, it's not through Wall Street. Real estate is a significant part of their portfolio. Is that a shocker to you?
No, it's not actually.
And why, and so although you've never been a landlord, why do you think that is?
Well, I know that I have enough friends of mine that are invested into real estate. And I think for them, not only is it more predictable than and more consistent than Wall Street, it's something tangible that they can keep their hands on and that they can drive by and look at. They're more involved and can control it to a greater degree.
Yeah, perfect. So it's just by seeing it through your circle of friends and people in business, I think that's a great answer. Yeah, it is tangible, isn't it? That's a really key word. I mean, one thing about money is just one big, I mean, the only thing that makes our US dollar valuable right now is the fact that we all believe in it. And when you can use dollars to go buy something that is tangible, I mean, real estate is tangible. When you look at a single family residence, a home, residential property, I mean, it's got concrete, it's got foundation, it's got wood, it's got bricks, depending upon the design. It's something real that families can live in that provides shelter. And if there's a lot of detail put on it, it's also really beautiful too. But it's real, isn't it? It's real. And where stocks, how real does that feel to you when you see it going up and down on Wall Street?
Yeah, not. And I know that you enjoy watching the red and green?
The red and green. I'm sorry, I should have started laughing. The red and green what? I really want to hear the rest of this.
No, that's pretty much all I got. I just know that you sit there with Max and watch the red and green thingy. I don't know what it is.
The red and green thingy. So one of these days, I will start talking a little bit about the components that I really do love on Wall Street. And so Tammy's gotten to know me after a while. And so this is probably a conversation, I'm sure. Now I got to start listening to our podcast. You know, I listen to them, but I can't remember everything we've discussed. And so, but I don't think I've ever on the podcast discussed what I do personally on the Wall Street section. It is a part of my portfolio. I do love it. And so I think the red and green, those are just happen to be colors that I've chose to when I do technical analysis with on what the indexes are doing, the Dow, S&P, et cetera, and all the different equities out there. And so, you have all these different type of indicators, and the way I like to measure, I just really like using candlestick charts to measure market open, market close, and how the game was played during the day. And yes, I am a dork. And for fun, I will, when Maximus is up, I will have him on my lap. And definitely with trading the markets, it is very fascinating to me to watch the institutions and human behavior, fear and greed in the market. And just... So anyway, that's a whole tangent off real estate, but thank you for bringing up the red and green. What did you say, thingamajigs? I got to write that down so I can teach you about that later. Red and green things. So usually green is good and red is bad if you're a bull, right? So if you're bullish on the market, and if you're bearish, then red's kind of a good thing. And so anyway, real estate. So I will have a podcast down the road talking about it. Wall Street is a very different animal than it was when it was, you know, since inception, and way different way. Wall Street's way different than what it was, in my opinion. And it is, it's still like a Nintendo game to me, probably a very boring Nintendo game to a lot of people, because it's just red things going up and green things, red things going down and green things going up, right, Tammy?
Yeah. You enjoy watching them go up and down.
I'm fascinated by it, especially, you know, the news is like, people ask, oh, why did the market go up? The news said this and this. It's like, I don't know, pick an excuse. Pick an excuse why it went up and pick an excuse why it went down. And I'm always fascinated. I always asking people, hey, what are the markets going to do tomorrow? Especially financial advisors. I always like asking them, hey, what's the market going to do tomorrow? And they have answers, and it's not mine. Typically, mine is, I know for sure what, I'm sure I've mentioned this on a previous podcast, I know for sure what the market's going to do tomorrow. It's going to go up, down, or sideways. that's it. Now, of course, if it's a holiday, then nothing. But real estate, it is real. And so, I am fascinated by the markets, but it doesn't consume much of my time. It's just, in my opinion, gambling money. And again, I can't emphasize enough, it's my opinion, and everyone can make their own. I just try to have everyone see things from a different perspective and through my eyes. But it is. It's just one big Nintendo game where real estate is tangible. I mean, it really creates value. I mean, the material, the wood, the metal, the effort, the energy, everything. It's something tangible and real. And it can be a really powerful way to invest. And now, I don't define buying a house to live in for your family. That's not really an investment. Yes, you could argue it's better than renting, depending if you plan to be there for a long time and you do own the property. But if you're getting a 30-year mortgage or a 15-year mortgage, your name's on it. But those first seven-year payments, if you look at how amortization schedules work, the majority of your payments the first 7 years, typically on a 30-year mortgage, over 70% of your payments go into the bank. You know, less than 30% is going to paying down that principal. But on a primary residence, I wouldn't necessarily call it an investment, but it is part of an asset class when I look at people's assets, and I'll break them into six asset classes. And a primary residence can be part of that. A true investment is that it's creating cash flow for you. And by investing in real estate, by buying properties and becoming a landlord, that can be a powerful, and it's not for everyone. I can tell you for me personally, I've watched professional tenants make things very, my mom and dad are just the nicest people ever. And I've watched when I was a kid in Annapolis, Maryland, how they had some really genuinely great tenants, but then you get a few bad apples that can really do an incredible amount of damage to that asset. And I've just watched how they can't make a payment, but then they come back the next month. And I remember this as a kid, and you see them pull up with a brand new car, but they couldn't make the payment to my mom and dad. Like, oh, they're a landlord, so they must be rich. No, there's a significant amount of risk to becoming a landlord. But if you do it correctly, it can be a powerful part of your investment strategy and portfolio. And so for me, all my life, I've been so afraid of playing that game, but I can tell you it has done very, very well for a lot of my clients. And so that's what I wanted to talk about is that, I mean, you can use IRAs, you can use Roth IRAs, you can use qualified plans to invest in real estate, or you can just use flat out cash to invest, which for me, quite often I find to be the favorite strategy because there's way less rules. I thought it was a great way to explain how powerful real estate can be. Is if you have, and it's all about systems. And we had this conversation, I think, the other day, Tammy, how systems, as opposed to goals, are very, and we'll have a podcast on systems, because I was talking to a client and one of my awesome podcast listeners about systems versus goals. And then coincidentally enough, a very nice gentleman, a California listening to the podcast, wrote me a nice email about systems. So systems, we will have a podcast down the road, Tammy, if that sounds good to you, because that hits your sweet spot as well. Systems versus goals and how they're different, but they can walk hand in hand. But if you have really good, and by the way, look at all your best businesses out there. They're defined by very intelligent, hardworking people and with successful systems. And if you have successful systems in place and you have a mentorship or you have a mastermind, if you have people around your circle that have experience as being a landlord, latch on, buy them lunch, learn from them. See if there's a way that you can come in and become a partner with them in some way or an apprentice. Say, hey, I'll do all this and this for free. By the way, I do that. I have a great client now. It's like, I want to know what you learn in real estate. Teach me. And so as much as I have to teach my clients and hopefully teach all the listeners here on this podcast, I learn every day so much from people who are writing in with comments about this podcast. People reach out to me by phone and all my clients every single day. I learn so much, yet I love learning and I love teaching. But if you have effective systems in place and you've got a good circle and you've got good mentorship, real estate can be a real powerful part of your investment strategy. And so you can find good tenants. You can be clear in your communication of what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. And if you do it right, it can be great for accumulation because over time, if you do a 30-year mortgage, and typically on these landlord deals, you know, the banks are going to want to see 20% down. But these things can create cash flow. They can create a strong internal rate of return. They've got depreciation. And I'm going to emphasize, I'm not a CPA, I'm not a tax attorney. So always run these ideas by your tax attorney, CPA. At the same time, I know what I'm talking about. But you have all these things that can create cash flow. You can have accumulation growth as part of that asset class and deductions. It's a really nice play. Any questions on those pieces so far? Hopefully I was succinct enough on that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I actually want to point something out. I think it was last podcast, you mentioned a client asking, or maybe a prospective client asking, how you're different from other financial advisors. I wanted to point out that just in your recent explanation, how you expose something that I think is unique about you that is a great selling point, and that is that you are a massive learner. I've heard you say that you wake up every morning and feel like there's so much still for you to learn, which I think is what makes you, it makes you such a good teacher, because you are such an avid student.
Thank you. I can tell you, when I was getting my electrical engineering degree, I thought after each semester, I would just be so much smarter. It's so much more knowledgeable. And then when you're going through these classes and it's like, oh my gosh, I mean, I'm in the world of geniuses. I mean, I know nothing. And then when I'm graduating, yay, I got my Bachelor of Science in Electrical Engineering and my minor mechanical. I'm walking out the door, you know, and I had my internship with Electronic Ignition Company out of Carson City, Nevada. It was such a blessing to work there designing ignition systems and being part of top fuel drag racing. It was so incredible. I'm like, gosh, these guys are, they just know so much. I now at least getting paid to learn where I was paying a whole bunch of money to learn. And so thank you. But it's just amazing. The more you learn, the more you realize you know nothing. We're just surrounded by just, and everyone has their strengths and their weaknesses. So thank you. Yes, I would say that does make me, not that a lot of people don't want to learn, but yes, I would, especially in this industry. Every day I realize I know nothing and I crave that knowledge and I crave applying it. And so thank you. So that was a total tangent on the real estate side. So thank you for that plug, Tammy.
It does make me unique. And that was me making a tangent, not you.
Oh, that's right. It was you. So thank you. I always have the ability to fold time because I love doing this podcast. I really love the questions that come in. And I'm making a difference. If I'm making a difference for 1% of the population listening to this, 5%, what a blessing. And we'll dive more into the real estate and all these different ways you can play a game in the real estate. But as a landlord, it can be with right systems, there is risk. But if you do it correctly and you leverage correctly, it can be a powerful part of your portfolio. And it can create, it can make you wealthier. And more importantly, it can create more cash flow. And so you have systems in place where you're netting an additional $100 or $200 a month, which doesn't sound that fascinating at first. But keep in mind, most people can't buy these homes cash. They're getting mortgages. But over time, as that mortgage is getting paid down, it won't just be a $200 profit. I mean, say here, rent in, and it's so relative. I mean, I was talking to a wonderful professional woman a couple weeks ago, called me, just asked some questions, listening to the podcast. Very sharp, very bright lady, who was telling me what rent was in New York City. And rent for like a little studio, and I mean, for a decent place, and it sounded like really just decent, about $2,400 a month. But in the area of Ohio, a mortgage for a three bedroom, two bath home, and I might be saying this a little wrong, but just under $500 a month in a mortgage. Isn't that crazy? So it's so relative where we're at, but I can tell you here in downtown Reno and midtown Reno, rent for a decent single family home is about, and people are lining up about $1,500 a month. And so just imagine as a landlord, over time, you own that property outright and you're acquiring, say, a house when the market's right. Say you're acquiring one house a year. In over 10 years, you've acquired 10 homes, right? Imagine, and this came, you know, he's become a wonderful friend and a client of mine. He says, can't imagine, and now I wanted to get his permission to share this quote, So hopefully he forgives me when he listens to this podcast. But
I like how you ask permission. Yeah.
I knew I wanted to talk about real estate today because I promised I'd talk about investments. So I'm shooting him a voicemail earlier today. I meant to ask him last week, hey, do I have your permission to share this? But oh well, I think he'll be okay with it. But just imagine owning 10 homes, any city in the country, right, Tammy? You want them outright. Imagine rent. Where do you live? In Seattle, is that right? Do I want to make sure?
Oregon.
Oregon. Mm-hmm. How did I confuse that? Okay, you live in Oregon.
It's just above me, so maybe that's why.
Oh, okay. So living in Oregon, imagine owning, what's a pretty big city in Oregon? Portland?
Portland, yeah.
Imagine owning 10 homes in Portland that you own outright. Do you think that you would have a better than average income?
Yes.
A better than average lifestyle, having that kind of net cash flow per month, owning them all outright?
Absolutely. It would create great freedom.
And do you think that could be a powerful part of a, I don't like the word retirement, but do you think at 60, 70, that could be a powerful part of your retirement portfolio, having that kind of cash flow?
Sure.
On assets that you own outright that you could sell? So very tangible, very real, and you're creating value for the community because you're providing homes for people to live in.
And it's in my control.
And I could tell you here in Reno, if I own 10 homes outright at $1,500 a pop, I'd say that's a pretty good passive income stream.
Yeah. I was afraid you were going to make me get out my calculator on that one. I was just ready for it.
But you didn't have to, did you?
No.
Owning 10 single family residences in San Francisco, probably, you know, or Orlando, or in Annapolis, or in Morristown, LA, probably a pretty good income, owning 10 homes. And so that was my part on real estate, is that can be a powerful investment strategy. And that can be done in clever ways through Roth IRAs, that can be done with IRAs, qualified plans, or just flat out as a straight cash investment, which, I mean, typically is my preference. But there's so many things you can do as an investment play where you're not just beholden to Wall Street. That can be a piece of your portfolio. But I just thought I'd throw that out there for today, is that real estate is a huge one. A huge one.
I like it.
And what's your gut tell you? Think I'm dead on that?
Oh, yeah. Not only because of my background, which you know, but like I've mentioned to the friends that I have, the other thing that I wanted to mention about real estate is it's, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, but it's malleable. Like you can make it a fixer-upper and totally add on to the investment value.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can add cash value. You can improve things. Value added, right? And so for me, I mean, I'm sure I discussed in one of my podcasts, I mean, me being a civil engineer, I've done a lot of land development, a lot of design from dirt all the way up to foundations, all the civil improvements. And so I love building and I love homes. I love construction. I love all engineering, you know, between cars and real estate. It's just real, it's tangible. And then the brilliance with some of these architects. Some of these architects, like, oh my gosh, that's ugly. But some of these other architects, I mean, it's like, it's just, and of course, you know, beauty is the eye of the beholder, but it's real, it's tangible, and it creates so much value and can create a lot of beauty, and provides a shelter and can provide, be a part of, a real big part of your wealth, part of your portfolio, and can be an incredible income stream, cash flow, which for the most part, you have complete control over. Unlike, I have no idea what Wall Street's going to do tomorrow, but typically, landlords have nice contracts with tenants, and the tenants is signing a one-year note or a four-year commitment, whatever, however it's structured, saying, hey, I promise to pay you this next month.
Right.
And I promise to pay it the month after, and the month after, and the month after. Every prospectus I've read about the different funds out there in Wall Street, I don't think they promise anything, do they?
Not that I know of.
They might show you their average rate of returns over 1 year and 5 year and 10 year, but in that 60 page or 50 page or whatever page prospectus, which has got so much legalese and boredom in it that no one even knows what they've read.
Right.
It promises nothing. It says, hey, you could lose everything. And so that was the whole topic for today, is real estate. And maybe a little bit teaser for the next conversation is, right now, I'm ready. You know, I've surrounded myself with brilliant friends and clients that understand the real estate game. It's just, so I'm ready to play the game, and I got my wife's buy-in on that. And that's key, everyone. When you talk to your husband, you know, husbands and wives and partners and spouses, et cetera, you better get buy-in, because that's a business partnership, especially in states like Nevada, community property state. So anything over 100, I get my wife's permission. Although I didn't get the permission on that that fancy tea kettle.
Did you get it?
I bought it.
Oh, were you the hero?
So I took a cash flow, turned it into a tangible, right, from investments, just how that feels. And so I used that to show my wife the beauty of, hey, that 25 grand is still there. And here, this just bought a beautiful, it is a beautiful, well, you've seen the picture. You sent me the link. Thank you. That's really nice of you after that podcast. And I ordered that thing so fast. So here's a plug for Amazon.com. I just love them. Their product fulfillment is phenomenal. And I will support the local stores, but it's amazing how I have a to-do list and I hate grocery shopping, et cetera. I have no tolerance for it. But I can click a button. I forgot I do it. In 2 days, this beautiful thing shows up. And it's like, here you go. This is the joys of cash flow. Now we've just converted this money into a tangible asset. What a dork I am. But it's something she was using immediately. And so, yes, I think I was a hero for the
moment.
Fantastic. So, and I think I'm forgiven for destroying the other one.
Excellent. So,
and there's extra money for other stuff. So, but that, I think the teaser will be like, so I'm ready to play the landlord game. And I mean, like I said, I've seen so many people around, it has become a substantial cash flow machine for them and a powerful part of the retirement, et cetera, over time. But right now, good luck trying to find a property in Reno that pencils. No way. No way. I mean, it still happens because when cash is king, I mean, a great client, my structural engineer, because he understood the Bankosaurus comp, and he didn't wait 4 years. He played the game 4 or 5 years ago with me. Just super nice guy, super sharp. Because of that Bankosaurus, he had the ability to pick up the phone and say, I need this money. And he just got a sweetheart, cash is king, sweetheart deal in the Tahoe community. How
great.
Cool is that?
That's awesome.
And so opportunities will seek you out when you have liquidity. But right now in the Reno area, very hard to find a property that you can buy that you're going to be able to rent out at market rate and for it to pencil. And so that's great. So what do? If you realize how valuable real estate is, but it doesn't make sense yet to become a landlord because it doesn't pencil, what do you do, Tammy?
I don't know, Ken. Are you going to tell us on the next podcast?
Yeah, I'll tell you on the next one. I could feel the hook coming. I can tell it's time. I need to have a big timer for us. So I get the little 5 minute, it like rings at me. But yeah, we'll talk about the next podcast. But one answer is, well, guess what? You have to wait. If you're going to become a landlord, you have to wait. Or are there other ways that you can dive in, enjoy the beauty of the cash flow and having real estate by owning notes, but you don't really have to technically be the owner on the property. And so I think I'll pivot into that next time. We'll talk about how you can enjoy the real estate game. So, which is when I'm teaching clients now, it's like, gosh, it's hard to buy something right now. But how would you like to enjoy that cash flow and maybe be in a first position lien on a property by being a note holder or working with a syndicated commercial real estate people? There's so many things out there that you can enjoy that tangible asset, have contracts that have promises in them, not that they can't fall apart, but they are contracts. I mean, that's really powerful. And so I think that'll be a fun thing to talk about next time.
Yeah, especially since you've hooked all these great listeners and now they're just going to be waiting with bated breath until the next podcast comes out.
I cannot tell you how fun the feeling is to virtually, I mean, everything's so electronic deposit now. But just say, you know what, send me my cash flow check every single month. And you just pick it up at the mailbox. Oh, wow. You know, this came in. Oh, wow. Whether you slept or you played, that's where passive income gets really, really fun. And real estate can be a big part of that, a big part. You know,
very cool.
There's so many other things out there, too. So sound good? Is that a good topic today? Do you think we got 2 thumbs up?
Absolutely. 3.
3. 3 thumbs up. So, All right. Well, thank you so much, Tammy. I was just going to say, everyone out there, Engineer of Finance, Google engineerofinance.com. You can find me on my website if you have more questions. My office number, 775-624-8839. Some people just prefer picking up the phone. Please do so. Shoot me an email if you have questions. And you'd like to get more clarity on the topics I'm talking about, let me know and I'll start addressing some more. And I think that's it. Please share this podcast with others you think this will create value for. And I love reviews too, especially great reviews. I love great reviews. But that's pretty much it. And so Tammy, can you please do your awesome sign off? Pretty please.
Absolutely. And I would have to add too, if you have questions for the engineer of finance expert himself, Ken Green, please do send them in, right, Ken? You'd love to take people's questions.
Yes, on the podcast. I want more and more questions. And I think what I need to do, and I've had some and I didn't address them today, so shame on me. I'm going to make sure I have them up on my screen. So I'll bring up a question to answer before I tie into the next piece on real estate.
Oh, that's a good idea. Like every podcast, we could do a question at the very beginning.
Yeah, I'm just going to have this question bucket and just keep building them up.
I like
it. The
one
I find the most fascinating or the one I did a really poor job on explaining, I will add more clarity to it. And okay. So I think that'll be great. So good. So do our awesome sign off.
All right.
Please.
Well, everyone, thank you so much for checking out the Engineer of Finance podcast. And we will see you next time when Ken Green goes on into part two of real estate as an alternative investment. Thank you.
Thanks, Tammy. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.